Hello, this is Bianca Westwood from Gillette Soccer Saturday on Sky Sports, and you are listening to the B2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 72 Show. I'm your host this week, Anthony Kendrick, and joining me we've got Nick Davey.
Good evening.
We've got Shane Lees.
Hello.
And our guest this week is former Crawley and Brighton defender Sam Rentz.
Good evening.
Burnley got promoted. They beat QPR 1-0 in a tense game. It was a fairy tale last time, but this time they said it was organised and businesslike.
Yeah, as we said on the show plenty of times before with Burnley, say they've just kept very consistent over the course of them being relegated. Obviously, they lost Danny Ings and Trippier over the summer, but they've just made very adequate replacements, really. I mean, Andre Gray, £9 million, but it's £9 million well spent. He's got them promoted. That's what. That's the money. That's every single penny paid back, and then some. Joey Barton, I mean, it's given that extra strength in the middle. Him and Dave Jones have formed a fantastic partnership there. And then obviously, Matt Lowlton's coming at right back. For the replacement with Trippier, and they say the whole defence is sort of kept very same, and the whole squad really, I mean, still with the George Boyd, Scott Arfield's on the wing, so I mean, the whole squad seems it's very settled, it's very consistent. I think we've seen that throughout the season, and I think, yeah, it's not really more of a fairy tale we saw a couple of years ago, but it's a job well done, but also what a job he's doing at Burnley.
I think there's still an element of a fairy tale. Sure, it's not like as good as the Leicester City fairy tale. But when Burnley went down, a lot of people were worried about that club. I mean, it wasn't a question of the players, whether or not they were good enough in the Championship, because everyone knew they were. But mentally, could that club recover from a relegation after they did have that fairy tale season of going up after it just wasn't expected? But I think the fact that they've gone down into the Championship and recovered so well to go back at the first time of asking, I do think there's a bit of a fairy tale story. It's gone under the radar because of, you know, what else has been happening. Brighton have done a similar thing to what Burnley did a few years ago, Leicester this year. So I think it's gone under the radar, but I do think it is still a really good story, and it does show that a relegation doesn't have to be the end of the world. It can just be a new beginning, and Burnley have shown that.
Do you think keeping hold of their manager, obviously it's easy to say now, but did you always think it was the right thing for them to do?
Yeah, well, I thought they were actually going to lose him. I mean, I didn't really understand. Obviously, you're going to think I'm mental for saying this now, but I've never understood why Leicester didn't go for him in the summer. But I won't touch on that. But I thought a few clubs were going to go after him, and I think I was kicking and screaming at the time about Leicester not going after him. So I thought he's done a fantastic job whenever he's been at Burnley, even at Watford before that. I mean, but yeah, I think had they had lost Sean over the summer, they might have struggled a bit this season. But as I say, what a job he's doing really there. And I say, I think they'll be feeling it over the summer and hoping they can keep hold of him.
It would have always been a harsh sacking, wouldn't it? Because when they went promoted, it was just not expected at all. That was what they were going to have that season. And he proved he was a really, really talented manager. Yes, they got relegated from the Premier League, but if they stayed up, it would have been a bit of a miracle considering the team they had. So I think if he got sacked, he would have just been like, well done for doing such a good job, you're now being damned by that. So it was a good decision for them to have kept him, and for him to have stayed.
Yeah, they've obviously had a great season, like you say. I think it shows sort of mental character going down and coming straight back up. And like you said, it is a bit of a fairy tale. Obviously, just got so far under the radar from the massive triumph Leicester have had this season. But yeah. Sean Dyche obviously done a fantastic job there, and like the players who have come in, you know, they've really hit the ground running, and you know, it's shown, you know, promoted back into the top four, and done in the season, so you can, you know, any praise them, can't you?
Do you think it's fair to say they'll probably beat Charlton this weekend? Obviously, already relegating, that'll confirm them top spot.
Yeah, I'm sure. I can't see them, you know, not picking up a win there. I think, yeah, like you say, with Charlton obviously going down, I think, and the high that they're going to be on, I can only see that going their way, to be honest.
What's interesting as well about Burnley is they've said they'll be in a better position to spend this time compared to 2014 when they went up, where there wasn't a lot of investment. There was a bit of investment, but not a lot. And then this time they're suggesting they're going to really look to strengthen the squad.
Yeah, you see that with quite a few clubs who got. They don't really spend sort of recklessly. I mean, so Palace, I think they did it when they went up through the playoffs a few years ago. obviously it was looking like it was a terrible decision because they were struggling before Pudis came in. But yeah, you do get the old clubs who don't really spend recklessly. Well, I think we've seen it obviously last time with Bournemouth spending a lot of money, Watford. But yeah, no, I think you get the odd few, like Burnley, say, they didn't spend really that much a couple of years ago, and it nearly worked, but I think that proved how good they made a bit of sense of when they went down and they came straight back up.
I think Burnley are actually in a better position this time around to stay up when after they go up this year. I think one thing, there's obviously more money in the Premier League now, and the money is much more equalised between the clubs. But I think tactically they're more well-rounded. I think that team is more well-rounded. They're more balanced. When they went up the first time, it was a very attacking side. It was a very almost possession-oriented side. And when they went to the Premier League and they tried to do that, it didn't work out very well. This side is much more experienced. They're much more balanced. They have a lot better defensive play. I mean, they've got one of the best defences in the league this year. So I think they are a lot better positioned. And if they can spend well, with all of the stuff they've got going into it, I think they can. I do think they will stay out next year. It does obviously depend on how much money they spend and what they spend it on, but I think they're in a very good position.
All right, well, we'll move on from that. I mentioned them before in passing, Brighton. Do you think the late equaliser against Derby at the weekend was significant?
Well, it wasn't really at all. It didn't make any difference. But
in terms of points, it doesn't, but like as a mental...
Yeah, so I think it's better going into a game again. I say such a thing. It's better going into the game on Saturday with a bit of a boost with a last-minute goal than rather than coming off the back of a defeat. So I suppose you got that, which was good. And there was a bit of a buzz around the place when we did score. So, yeah, I think... Obviously, it didn't mean anything points-wise, but for morale, yeah, it was pretty good. Gives Wilson a bit of confidence as well, getting him a goal. So, yeah, but as I say, I mean, this Saturday really is just the biggest game in the... Certainly since I've been supporting the club in since 2003, it's the biggest game I've known, and so it is the playoff final before the playoffs itself. So it's just massive. It's winner-takes-all. Obviously, if we're going to... Middlesbrough, you've got to say Middlesbrough favourites going into it, given the fact that they can draw and get away with it. So they've got everything to lose, though, and we've got everything to gain, in my opinion. We're not going there expecting to win by it. So,
how do you feel? Do you feel confident of getting that victory?
I say it's such a tough game. I really don't know if we will. I mean, I think... One thing the club has done this season, they've been the underdogs this season. Every week in, week out, they've defied the odds. So who's to say we can't do it again on Saturday? Sorry.
I think they'll do it. I think Middlesbrough are perpetual bottle jobs without trying to be too harsh on them.
Mm.
And I think Middlesbrough are coming into it with everything to lose and Brighton with everything to win. The team talk's already set for going into that game. It's not going to be hard for Chris Hughton to get Brighton up for that game. They've got to go away, upset the party, go and try and nick a result from Middlesbrough, who have got all of the pressure. I mean, historically, I don't think they've ever really dealt well with that kind of pressure. So I think it is Brighton's game in a weird way, in reverse. It's Brighton's game to win, because lose or draw, it doesn't make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
They can throw everything at the win, whereas Middlesbrough are going to be backs against the wall.
I was also thinking that it could potentially be a blessing in disguise. Back in the December game when they beat us 3-0, there's no beating about the bush. They absolutely pounded us that day. But obviously that game we didn't have players like Knockhart, Goldson playing for us, Scalak. We were missing a few players up there. I think we were off the back of two harsh tour draws away. I think the players were feeling the players being a bit knackered because obviously we're quite down to the bare bones on players. So that could potentially be a blessing in disguise in the sense that Middlesbrough could think, right, they're going to roll over like last time. So it's going to be a massive, massive game. So I'm going up to it. Whether I'll actually enjoy the football itself is another question. So already the nerves are kicking in, to be honest with you. The thought of seeing Premier League football at the Amex next season is just surreal thinking about. So it's going to be a fantastic game. But I just say really, really hope that it's us in the Premier League post match.
You sound nervous already.
Yeah, I think I've never known anything. Obviously, we've been in the playoffs against Palace before, and that obviously less said about that, the better. Obviously, we've had the big games where we stayed up. Obviously, on last days against Ipswich and Stockport, playoff drama against Swindon, Bristol City. But I think this just tops a lot.
Yeah, I think they can go there and get a result. They've got to go with, obviously, you know, game plan. They can't go up there, just go all out attack and expect, you know, to wipe the floor with them. I think they've just got to go up, be cautious and, you know, get into half time the team sheet, and then anything can happen. I think if you sort of miss a goal second half and then just try and shut up shop. But I think, you know, it's going to be a cagey game. I think both teams are going to be, you know, they're not going to want to play expansive football. I think it's going to be really cagey, you know, really wanting to sort of put themselves too far out there. And I think it'll sort of go down one goal either way. And, you know, it's the old cliche, but, you know, I think, you know, the first goal that does get scored, that is going to be the winning goal on Saturday. I can't see it being a high scoring game. I do think that for Brighton, especially, psychologically, I think, you know, if they don't end up winning and they do go to the Palace, I think psychologically, you know, that could be a real negative for them. So I'm hoping that they obviously go up there and get the result, because, you know, after what could have been such a big high, going back into the playoffs, then you've got to go through more really, really tough games mentally and physically. I think that could sort of take its toll on the club, on the team again. So yeah, I'm hoping that they can just go up there, put a good performance in and just try and nick a goal, nick a last minute goal, last 10 minute goal, and then just see it out. So fingers crossed for that one.
I guess looking at it the other way as well, though, Middlesbrough, for them to drop into the playoffs now after being ahead of Brighton for a while, you know, after losing that game, psychologically would affect them too.
Yeah, I think, you know, for either team, after, you know, they sort of have 90 minutes of Premier League football, and, you know, their whole world changes for every single player, whether they've been there before, whether they're young, because they're coming up, you know, especially for a club like Brighton, you know, either team, you're so close to that high to drop back down into the playoffs and have to go through all that. I think it's really going to obviously take its toll on the players.
Shane, was there something else you wanted to say before we moved on to the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of hit on it there, the sort of the weight that mentality has on these big games. But I just think between these two teams, who is mentally in a better place to take it on? I think Middlesbrough do have the quality, just a little bit, but I do think they have the quality. But mentally, I think Brighton are going to be in a much better place this game. And they've got, because they are the team who have to win, they can come into it with a bit of a clearer perspective. You've got the Middlesbrough players, they're going to be thinking, maybe we can get away with a draw. Maybe we don't have to win this game. And I think those sorts of mentalities can be quite dangerous. I think Middlesbrough players will be looking at this and maybe one worrying a little bit, thinking, oh, we could drop out. Whereas Brighton, it's all positive. It's, we could jump in rather than we could, you know, we will lose on this. It's theirs not to lose. So for me, I think on the mental thing, which is what I think big games come down to, I think Brighton have it at the moment. And I think that will be what sees them over the line.
Could there not be the other argument that maybe because they have to win, there's that maybe headlessness, they've got to be getting forward, attacking all the time?
Well, there's always that danger, but I don't think Chris Hughton's that kind of a manager. I think he's a very clever manager, so I don't see him going at it like that. But I think it's a boost to the players because it's suddenly a very, very simple formula. Win or nothing, that's it. Whereas Middlesbrough's players, they've got other options. You see that in Bloody Wars. That makes a big difference, the backs against the wall thing. So I think for Brighton, they are in a mentally stronger position.
Okay. We'll move on to the playoffs then. The other three playoff spots are decided. Hull, Derby, Sheffield Wednesday. We'll join Brighton or Borough. One of those two against Sheffield Wednesday. Derby could overtake Hull, which would give them the fourth place and the advantage in the playing the second leg at home.
Yeah, I think the home advantage is very key in the playoffs. I think it's probably going to be Hull. It's going to be Hull versus Derby and Sheffield Wednesday versus whoever drops out. But looking at the teams, I think Hull though not going into it the best of form. So I think they lost at Bolton last weekend, and they all.
Yeah, I was just going to come on to that, yeah.
Yeah, and Derby, yeah, chance to say they got a great chance. I was quite impressed by Derby at them. They had a great game plan, it worked, stopped Brighton from playing, I think they should win that.
I thought Will Hughes had a very good game.
Sorry, Matt, so
I thought Will Hughes had a very good game for Derby coming back because he's been injured all season.
I thought he was the best player on the pitch, to be honest. That's a massive boost having him back. So Derby going into the playoffs with a lot of confidence, to be fair, and So they've really improved, and you know, they could be the ones to watch in the playoffs. I think I said last week, I fancy Hull, but weak makes, and as I say, Derby are looking like the ones that they could be the ones to watch in the playoffs.
I've got to say, I think Hull are the favourites as well. I think they just have that bit more quality than the other teams around them. But wouldn't it be so very disappointing for this championship season if it ended Burnley, Borough and Hull going up? You know, not Burnley, Brighton and, you know, Wednesday. I'd love to see Wednesday go to, and Derby, they've got the history, so I'd kind of like to see them do well. But I mean, it would be so disappointing if that's how it ends. And my head says maybe that's the way it will go.
It would be very depressing. So, I mean, no disrespect to Burnley or Hull, but we've seen it, we've done it. They'll probably go up, they'll probably both come straight. It's just, yeah, we don't want to see that. The neutrals don't want to see it. Visiting fans don't want to see it. But, yeah, they're Brighton, Sheffield Wednesday. It sort of freshens up the Premier League a bit.
Yeah, I think watching the Derby game, obviously against Brighton, my money would go on them in the playoffs, to be honest. I think in that squad, they've got a few match winners there. You know, I could see Martin, you know, really standing up in the playoffs, scoring and throwing some goals, and, you know, players like Ince. I think they've just got, you know, a little bit of pace that can sort of open up those intense, those tough games. Hull obviously came into the favourites, but like you're saying, you know, their form as of late haven't been great. And yeah, I think my money would be on Derby if it came down to it.
Okay. Finally, in the championship, the relegation battle's obviously over, as we've said before. Charlton, Milton Keynes and Bolton are all down. Bolton managed to restore some pride. They beat Hull 1-0 at the weekend, which I suppose is good for them.
Yeah, so it's I think when you are relegated, you do have that freedom where you can just relax. You don't need to worry about if you lose, because obviously it doesn't mean anything. So you can go there and play and you can spring a result. So they played quite against Middlesbrough about a few weeks ago as well, when they lost 2-1. So they'll go down with a smile on their face. I mean, and then obviously all three of them, it's and they've obviously got tough summers out to prepare for next season in League One.
You can catch all the championship games at 12:30 this Saturday. The Middlesbrough Brighton game, obviously the pick of the day. And we'll move on to the League One, promotion race. Burton, Wigan have won the league. They're up, and then you've got Burton in second, who are three ahead of Walsall. Burton travel to Doncaster. Walsall go to Port Vale with a 3-point deficit. Would you expect Burton to go up?
Yeah, I think with the through that they're playing a team that's all. I think, I know, Donny aren't relegated yet, are they? But I think the team that's on the very, very brink of relegation, I think you expect Burton to go there. I mean, they're going to have a bit of confidence now. They're starting to, they've sort of pulled themselves together over the last couple of weeks. So I think, yeah, they'll get over the line, Burton. And say, what a job. What a story for the football club. As say, we've seen some small clubs enter the championship, Yeovil's over the years. And I think, Burton, it's a fantastic story and fantastic credit to everyone at that football club, as we've said time and time again, that they it's a club that's everyone from the chairman right down to the players, everyone always pulls in the right direction, and so they've been doing it over the years of consistency, and now they're going to be in a very, very big league.
I'd have to say, I'd be very surprised if they didn't automatically go up. I mean, don't Walsall have to go to Port Vale and beat them like 4-0 and hope Burton don't get anything? It would be a huge surprise if Burton didn't go up automatically this season.
It's a 3-goal swing they need, so effectively a Walsall win and a Burton loss would send them up, unless they were both 1-goal games, which you'd assume they wouldn't both be.
I don't know, Port Vale are a decent side, haven't they? They only lost last week against Scunthorpe, but obviously they're chasing the playoff places, and then they won their last three before that. So Port Vale are, you know, they're not an easy side to go up against, and I think against Doncaster, even though they're trying to avoid getting relegated, you wouldn't sort of bet on them to get a result against Burton, would you? I think it would be a massive shock if Walsall stole away second.
Walsall's recent form has been a lot better under the interim boss, John Whitney, who replaced Sean O'Driscoll.
Yeah, it's proved to say, but I think, to be fair to Walsall, great season. Coming very good. They've kept their, so the style they've played all season, they've been very consistent. But they're obviously going to have home advantage for the plus, which is very key. So I think it's been a good season, and I think they've still got a great chance of going up by the plus.
All right. Millwall and Bradford are confirmed in the playoffs, as well as well, presumably Walsall, but maybe Burton. And then it's a battle for the sixth place in the final playoff spot. You've got Barnsley currently in the spot, but Scunthorpe level on points and Gillingham only two behind. So could be any one of those three.
That's a big, yeah. So a lot of clubs going to it on the last day. That's what we like to see. Obviously, everyone find it, sort of slugging it out. So Barnsley are the former. I mean, Gillingham must be pretty disappointed with themselves, how they've sort of ended up in that mess. I mean, it was looking like they were having a playoff spot. I mean, they're in the playoffs for a lot of time over the whole season. And now for them to be an eighth, I think they must be very disappointed of how it's actually panned out. I mean, they've still got a chance, so they do need. They are asking quite a bit. I mean, they need to beat, first of all, must beat Millwall, who are doing very well. And obviously, they need to hope that the Barnsley lose away at Wigan, which is, you can see happening probably. And then Scunthorpe losing to Sheffield United. So it's obviously a lot to ask, but it's certainly doable. But
I think I think they're going to do it. I think Gillingham are going to nick into that playoff spot. I can't see.
They have got the goal difference as well that helps them out. So if Barnsley and Scunthorpe were to draw, Gillingham can actually, they both, either of them don't win, Gillingham win, and they're in the playoffs. So it's actually quite, they've actually got a good chance of actually looking at it again, actually.
I mean, you look at it and think Gillingham are playing Millwall, and Millwall don't have an awful lot to play for, whereas Gillingham have everything to play
for. Why do you say Gillingham?
I'm stubborn and terrible. And Sheffield United, that's never an easy game. Never. Especially Sheffield United at home.
Mm-hmm.
So Scunthorpe, they're up against it. And Barnsley are up against the champions at home. I think, I wouldn't be surprised if you see the other two games draw and Gillingham win, and then through goal difference they go up.
But then you're using the same argument that, well, they've got nothing to play for, Wigan and with Wigan and Sheffield United.
Right, but Wigan are the champions. Wigan are a better team than Millwall.
Yeah, I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying that you're using logic that Millwall haven't got anything to play for, but they're not. Where Millwall need to win to, well, I guess for the home advantage.
Also, Wigan are at home and Millwall are away. And I think this is a big difference between having your last game at home as champions of the division, between having your last game away as a team that's fighting for one or the other playoff spots, fourth or fifth.
Yeah, we have seen over the years, though, that you obviously you do get that when you turn up winning the league, and then obviously you can get the emotion, the day can actually get ahead of you. So, and not to get Barnsley, obviously, on a good form. So it'll be a very interesting last day. And I think, to be fair, my money's actually probably, I mean, I said it's like Gillingham. It's probably actually Gillingham. We're actually probably one of the. It was providing they can beat Mill, of course. They actually can really set themselves up quite nicely for that day. But I personally think Scunthorpe. I reckon they'll win at Sheffield United.
Okay. Well, I guess backing Gillingham's confident, especially as they've only got 3 points from their last seven games. We'll move on to the relegation battle. Fleetwood are at home to Crewe and need a draw to guarantee survival.
Well, that couldn't really be. I couldn't really be more kind for them, could it? Really. So, club that's bottom of the league, the rock bottom, are going to end bottom at home in front of your own fans. Probably get a big crowd there. I mean, that couldn't really be more kind for Fleetwood, could it? Really.
No.
So, I think. Even a draw would be fine for them, wouldn't they? Because if Blackpool do win, they're still going to be miles behind in goal difference. So, yeah, I think Fleetwood would be fine. And then, yeah, we're looking at Blackpool getting relegated, which, say, from Premier League football down to League Two, it's a bit like the Portsmouth again, isn't it?
I just want to say, though, about, Crewe relegated, effectively relegated Doncaster last week, because they beat them 3-1. And if they can get another win at Fleetwood, they could relegate two teams, bring them down with them.
Crewe literally just acting as death towards the end of the season.
Well, I don't think anyone fancied Crewe to get the result against Doncaster. I'm sure we said on this show that Doncaster should get that win.
It's not a kid against attention, so I should drag everyone in with it. but no, I think to be honest with you, I think the difference with Crewe last week, they're at home. I think with Fleetwood, the atmosphere will be pretty loud there, I suspect. And then to be fair, you're asking for Blackpool to go and win at Peterborough as well, which won't be an easy game. So I reckon it'll be Fleetwood staying up, and I think probably looking at potentially Blackpool getting relegated. But as I say, I think Stephen Presley he's under a lot of pressure at Fleetwood. I think hearing some, obviously looking at the whispers of the fans, they don't like the way they're playing football. They're not in a position they thought they'd be in. Obviously, over the years, they've spent a lot of money, and they've done well to be where they are, but I think they want a bit more success. Maybe their greediness there going to their heads, but I think if they can start, they can have a good summer and plan for next season.
I think it will stay as it is. I can't see Fleetwood getting beat. I think Blackpool will go down, and I think the other three, obviously, you know, it's not going to change at all. Last day of the season, I can't see Fleetwood getting beat, and like you just said, it'd be a great shame, but like the Portsmouth days, seeing Blackpool sort of getting all the way down, relegated into League Two, disappointing season for them, but yeah, I can't see any, you know, any positive for them coming from the last day of the season, to be honest. I think that will stay as it is, and they will be the fourth teams who go down there.
Alright, there's a few other bits of news from League One. Joe Cole is leaving Coventry and going to play for the Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Who? Are they even in
the American
team, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't have thought that, would you?
The standard's probably Ryman Premier level, to be honest with you. There's no disrespect to Ryman Premier level, just having a player like Joe Cole in that league, I mean, he'll just terrorise it, you'd like to think.
You couldn't have had
The Colchester boss, Kevin Keane's been sacked, as we said before, and John McGreal's replaced him as manager. He used to be in charge of the under-21s.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's sort of like, well, funny enough, what we said in the start of the show with Dean Wilkins taking over Brighton. It. So when you've got someone who knows the club, they can bed the youngsters in there, and obviously, hopefully he can have a good season. I mean, he's going to start League Two. I mean, he's got a pretty good squad to work with in Colchester. I think obviously his key will be sorting out that defence. I mean, 97 goals conceded this season. I mean, that's just something league standard, really, isn't it? I mean, so now they've got to get that sorted out. But say going forward, I think they scored 56. I think they will do. So I think if he can keep that sort the defence out, bed the youngsters in, I think hopefully he can have quite a straightforward job there at Colchester.
And finally, crew manager Steve Davis is being backed by the club to get them up, and they're fully backing him and won't be sacking him.
Yeah, I think that's a correct decision. I mean, he as we said, he knows the club inside out. He's been there for a while, I think it'd be the very wrong decision there. And it's not they're having a dramatic form in between League One and League Two. It could be quite similar the leagues. So I think he'll probably do well there, and he's probably got a good chance of bringing them back.
Okay, well, you can catch the League One games at Sunday at 12:30, and we'll move on to League Two. Northampton, obviously, they've won the league, as we've said before. They've been great all season. There's not enough superlatives to describe what a fantastic season they've had. Their manager's won manager of the season. But the battle for the automatic promotions is very interesting. You've got Accrington on 84 points, Oxford United 83, and Bristol Rovers 82, and two of those three will be going up.
Yeah, but it's been a fantastic sort of ride with all those clubs up there, and they've all got home games and all pretty winnable. I think Accrington are home to Stevenage, who have struggled all season. Bristol Rovers home to an already relegated Dagenham and Redbridge, and Oxford home to Wickham. I think they got the stiffest game, Oxford. I think all three of them go in. I think, as I say, I think if all three of them do win, that will mean Bristol Rovers missing out. But as I say, well, it's going to be interesting on that our last day on who's going to do it. I mean, personally, what a job they've done there. I mean, one of the worst budgets in the Football League altogether, so it's getting promoted is absolutely outstanding. It will be very interesting going in that last day.
All the top teams won, so there was no change at the weekend. I guess, Shane, would you agree? It'd be easy wins for the top teams.
I can't see the table changing at the top that much. I mean, it would have to be a pretty big bomb job for one of those teams to go and drop points against the opposition they're facing. So I can't see it changing. And I think Bristol Rovers, because it is so likely to end up like this, because they'll probably be anticipating it, it won't be as much as a mental blow to miss out on the automatic promotion spots going into the playoffs, as we talked about earlier. So I think they'll be in a fairly decent position mentally going into those playoffs.
Yeah, I think Atkinson have had a brilliant season. For them to go up, like you say, on that budget, that's unbelievable, really. I can only see them you know, on the season they've had in finishing it, you know, as they've meant to go on, I can see them winning. Like you say, Oxford have got the toughest game, but I think they'll all do a job on the final day. I can't see any of the games, you know, being too much of a problem. It does obviously look like Bristol Rovers. They're going to stay in that fourth position. But yeah, I can't see it. Again, I can't see that moving too much. So just, you know, hopefully Accrington can, you know, once they do get up, just hope that they actually stay up, because it is a bit of a jump from you know, League 2 to League 1. So I'd like to think that, you know, they'll get some players in over the summer. But obviously on their budget, you can't see too many big signings coming in. Just wouldn't like to see them come straight back down after all the hard work that they have put in through this season.
Mm-hmm. The other playoff sides are decided. Portsmouth, Plymouth and Wimbledon will all be playing in the playoffs. Cambridge have decent form, but just miss out. Cambridge, I just want to mention, their form's massively improved under Sean Derry. They've had a fantastic second half of the season, I think.
Yeah, they've done really well. I think, as I say, it's not the end of the world. They're missing out on the playoffs, I mean. But I think they'll get a lot of confidence going into next season. And Sean took over at Christmas time, so I think they'll be happy with their season. And I think it's a good summer's work, and they'll be right there again next season.
The relegated sides have been decided. York are down, and Dagenham and Redbridge are also down. Despite that, Dagenham have won their last two games. They won against Plymouth, which wrecks their chances of automatic promotion, and then. They beat Crawley after that, so too little too late.
Yeah, who isn't beating Crawley?
Yeah,
that's true.
When was the last time they won a game? Was it like early March? I'm fairly certain. I think it was just before my birthday, like the 12th.
They beat Luton 1-0.
Yeah,
I think it was on your birthday.
But they're very lucky that there is only two teams to go down. So the points is so, as we said it before on the show, that they should really be three going down and three up. But so the points, I mean, you've got from Newport 43 right down to Dagenham 34. It's quite a big point difference. But yeah, Crawley's better form than them is laughable.
What do you make of what's going on at Crawley, Sam? I know you used to play there, so I'm sure you've got a bit of an opinion.
Yeah, it's obviously crazy since I left. You know, the owner who came in when I was there, you know, he came in, injected a load of money and, you know, he had the perfect season. We got promoted from the conference into league football. We obviously had the amazing FA Cup run, got to the fifth round at Old Trafford. If anything, he made millions from that season. And it's, you know, it's just a shame. I don't know the ins and outs of sort of what's happened there. But, you know, obviously he left a while ago. There's been massive four, five, six managers since in that short time in the last few years. You know, and it's just sort of all gone downhill. And like you say, the former season's been so different. And, you know, the last couple of months has been shocking. It's hard to sort of put your finger on what's gone wrong there from the outside. But I'm sure, you know, a few of the players will have a few stories about what has gone on there. And hopefully, they'll obviously stay up now. But, you know, they definitely need to sort it out there and build on it for next season, get some stability back inside the club.
Well, they've brought in Dermot Drummond, who's replaced Mark Yates as manager, who used to work at Arsenal and Chelsea, I think, as under 21, as part of their under 21s. And there's also the new owner coming in, as you say, that's Ziya Eren, who works in Turkish football as well. He owns a Turkish side, so it could be really interesting to see how Crawley get on next season.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah.
Just move on to a final thing. I just want to mention the April Player of the Month awards. The Championship nominees are Michael Keane, Anthony Knockhart, Johnny Russell and Scott Hogan are up.
Say this about Michael Keane. He has been immense this season. And he's a player who's been sort of... He's been touted of having a lot of potential for a few years, even back, I think, when he was at Manchester United. But what a season he's had. And if he can keep on that progression, I wouldn't put it past him to maybe get an England call up one day.
He's massive, literally massive.
He's a very, very good player. He's a very technical central defender, which is quite surprising. Especially when you consider, you know, Burnley player is genuinely his size. He's a very tall player. You don't associate that. But I think this season he has been outstanding, Michael Keane. And I wouldn't.
Well, I think him and Ben Mee have had a very good partnership with Burnley. As I said, but Ben Mee's moved from left back to centre back, and Ben Mee made the team of the year actually. And
yeah,
so I think they've both been outstanding at the back, and they've actually more the left back. And and Matt Lout at right back. It's a very good back four for this level. And to be fair, even in the Premier League, I mean, I don't know what Steve Moore can be quite injury prone at times, but that is a pretty good back four going into the Premier League.
I think Michael Keane, in 2-3 years' time, will have a handful of England caps to his name.
No, I think Anthony Knockhart's done class. I mean, he's, as I say, looking at the April games, scored against Burnley, came on and won us the game against Forest. I mean, he set one up, scored Fulham, scored against QPR, man of the match against Charlton. He was man of the match against Derby. I mean, he's been outstanding this month. So I think he'll be, Michael Keane probably will edge it, but say Knockhart has been class.
I'd have to agree. I can't go against the Brighton player this month. He's had an unbelievable month. And, after they get promoted on Saturday, I think that'll be the afternoon take for him.
Can you go against the Brighton manager? Because he's been nominated for Manager of the Month, as well as Ita Karankara, Dean Smith and Neil Warnock.
I'd give it to Neil Warnock, personally.
Yeah, that is a tough one. I mean, there's some sort of good arguments for all of them there, really. Neil Warnock, he has had a great month as well. I think they all have. Chris Hughton, it's a shame they don't do it just after Saturday's game, really. So that would be the deciding factor for me. But I think Neil Warnock has had a great month as well.
There's talk he might leave at the end of the season. He says he's going to make a decision after the final game against Hull.
Yeah, I heard he's going to move up. He's going to move up, I think.
Do you think he can get a job at a championship club with a serious chance of going up?
I think he's, after proving he's proven this season, I think he's proved how good he's been at Rotherham. But I reckon he'll probably move to like a director of football role at Rotherham, maybe.
All right, well, thanks for joining me tonight. I've been joined by Nick Davey, Shane Lees and Sam Rents. You can follow us on Twitter at V2Football. You can check out our Facebook page, our YouTube page as well. You can also follow Sam Rents on Twitter. I'll put the link in the description. Thanks for joining me. It's good night from me and good night from everyone else.
Good night.
Thanks a lot.